Hello everybody, it's Moose Tall 23 back in another video. In this video, I want to talk about the ignorance of Christianity, particularly biblical Christianity and biblical doctrines, and what we believe in accordance to what the Bible says. Now, this video is addressing two particular audiences, both those who are saved, who refuse to read their Bible, and thus do not grow in knowledge and wisdom as a believer, but also to those who are unsaved, and those who are not Christians at all, who make up ideas about what we believe and what we practice. And tomorrow there will be another similar video uploaded where I talk about what different denominations believe. But in this video, I want to talk about the main doctrines which are laid out in the Bible, as well as give a short scriptural defense for each of those doctrines. And in a way, this is kind of a statement of faith. Now, I'm not going to be going through every single thing I believe. I'm not going to be going through every single doctrine that I hold to be true, or every single thing that the Bible says, just the important things to know based on what the scripture says. And as previously stated, the purpose of this video is to explain to those who are ignorant of Christian doctrine. Because it's actually kind of disappointing to see people who have been raised as Christians, and who are Christians themselves, but because they either don't study their Bible, they don't go to church, they go to a bad church, they don't grow. I have some friends like that, who have been saved for months or sometimes even years. They understand the gospel, but pretty much everything beyond that, they have trouble understanding. They've only heard about, but they can't explain, or they don't know what the Bible says about something. So if you're one of those people who is saved, but you don't really know that much about biblical doctrine and what we hold to be true, don't worry, because this video is meant to be a help. And in this video, of course, I will lay out exactly what I believe personally as a Baptist, so that the people on my channel don't get confused. And if you're new to this channel, I should of course tell you what I just mentioned, that this is from a perspective of a Baptist believer, a fundamental Baptist. That's what I am. So I just want to quickly go through a list of the doctrines, and then I'll come back to talk more about them and explain them and use scripture to support these ideas. So this is not meant to be a long video, so I'm not going to do a whole study of each of the topics. I just want to do a quick summary, just quickly go over what the doctrine means and then the scriptures that are used to support it. And I'm going to try and use clear scripture on these things. Of course, these aren't the only verses which talk about them, but I'll try to use as many clear verses as possible to explain the doctrines and how it supports them. So here are some of the things which I hold to be true based on what the Bible says. I'm going to be talking about 16 things in this video. The first thing, the Bible is the Word of God. Two, the Trinity doctrine, that there is one God who is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three, the virgin birth and the incarnation of Christ. Four, sin and the fallen nature of man. Five, Jesus' crucifixion as a penal substitutionary atonement. Six, the resurrection of Christ. Seven, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and eternal security. 8, judgment of hell. 9, sanctification. 10, baptism of the believer by immersion. 11, autonomy of the local church. 12, great commission. 13, priesthood of all believers. 14, holy nation. 15, separation. And 16, second coming and rapture. So these are the 16 doctrines which I'll be going over today. And again, there are a lot more. There are a lot more things I believe. Obviously, the Bible is a big book. There's a lot of things which it talks about. And I could be here all day talking about minor doctrines, but these things are all the most important, I believe. And over the next few weeks, I'll be making similar videos going more in depth to some of these doctrines. Now, I know some people stumbled across my channel based on one or two videos, which they might find interesting, possibly one of my older videos, and they don't understand exactly what I believe. So let me just make this clear. I am a believer in Christ who was born again in June 2018, so about 15 months ago, and I now go to a Baptist church. Now here are the doctrines I want to go over, which I've held ever since I got saved, or at least some of these I started to learn as I started to read my Bible after I got saved. First of all, that the Bible is the Word of God. The scriptures were written by holy men of God, which were inspired by the Holy Ghost, and thus they're complete, perfect, infallible, and powerful. And all of our faith and practice and all of our doctrines come from this book. I don't have my Bible on me right now, but it all comes from the Bible and what the Bible says. And I believe that it was preserved in the English language as the King James Version of the Bible. And that's why on this video and on other videos, I'll always use scriptures to back up what I say. because I believe that the Bible is the perfect word of God. Now, if I can't do that, if I can't support what I'm saying with a scripture, with what the Bible says, then it's just an opinion. So if I make up a doctrine, or if I say something that has something to do with theology and it's not supported by a biblical verse, then it's just know that it's my opinion and it's not something which you have to hold as true because it's not from the Bible. So here are some verses about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 48, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Second, the Trinity doctrine. That is that there is one God, but that one God eternally exists as three distinct persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are all eternal, meaning that they have existed from everlasting to everlasting, and they are all equally God. However, in rank, the Son, which is Jesus Christ, is subordinate to the Father. Psalm 83, verse 18 says, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. 1 John 5, 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. John 1, 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, of course, you compare that with John 1, 14, which says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is referring to Jesus. 1 Timothy 3, 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Acts chapter 5, verse 3-4, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And that passage shows that the Holy Spirit is God. The third doctrine is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh and was born of a virgin and brought into this world where he lived a perfectly sinless life. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1, 20-21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which was conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14-15 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The fourth doctrine, that we are by nature sinners, and that sin was brought into the world by the transgression of Adam. Every human being who has ever lived is a sinner who has come short of the glory of God. As a result of this, every person deserves the punishment of death and hell. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 5:12-14, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fifth doctrine is that Jesus Christ, after being manifest in this world, was put to death by crucifixion, where all the sins of the world were imputed unto him, and he, as the Lamb of God, was a substitution for us, and therefore by his shed blood we can have our sins forgiven. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21-24 says, for even Herod too were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but commended himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. And 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Darn, my throat's starting to hurt. Hopefully I can get through this, because there's still 10 doctrines left. The sixth doctrine is that after 3 days, Christ arose from the dead by the combined work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and ascended to sit on the right hand of the Father after appearing to the disciples. 1 Corinthians 15:3-8 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Revelation 1:17-18 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. The seventh doctrine is that God gives us the gift of salvation. Our sins are already paid for by the blood of Christ, so that all we need to do for justification is to put our trust in Christ as our Savior and believe in the gospel. And in doing so, we are born again in the Spirit, and God gives to us eternal life, meaning that we are saved and we are sealed, and that nothing we can do can separate us from God. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It says in Acts 16:30-31, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 11:25-26 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eighth doctrine is that those who refuse to accept Christ as their Savior will go to hell at death, and will only escape briefly at the great white throne judgment, where God will judge every man according to his works, and the sinners will be cast into the lake of fire to have their soul destroyed. It says in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them at the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It says in Revelation 20:10-15, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and should be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The ninth doctrine is that our Christian life is not over when we are saved, but only beginning, and that if we walk in the Holy Spirit which God gave us, we will fulfill the will of God and be sanctified, or made holy in our walk with God. In other words, we progress and we grow in our faith as we follow and obey the commandments of God, which are still in place and expected to be followed by the believers. Although disobeying the commandments will not send one to hell, it will result in God's chastisement and a lack of inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. It says in Romans 7:18-25, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not, for the good which that I would For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 7, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond to defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The 10th doctrine is that when somebody is born again and believes in Christ, the first commandment which they are to obey is that of baptism. And baptism is only for believers and should be done by full immersion in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and adds one into a church. It says in Matthew 3:16, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. It says in Matthew 28:20, Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I don't know why verse 19 is not in my notes, but it should be. He said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then there's verse 20, which says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Anyway, Romans 6, verse 3 to 4 says, Know ye not that so many of us are baptized, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The 11th doctrine is that a church is a local congregation of saved and baptized Christians who meet together for the purpose of worshiping God, growing in their faith, and doing the work of God, such as evangelism. Every congregation is headed by Christ as their supreme leader, and there exist two offices, the pastor and the deacon, who oversee the local church. There is no universal church or earthly head of the church. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 says, How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16 says, And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The 12th doctrine is the Great Commission, that after Christ's ministry, Jesus charged us with going into the world and winning people to Christ by preaching the gospel. And this should be the main goal of Christians, to share the gospel with others to try to convert them, that they might be saved. So it's in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now the 13th doctrine is that every believer has the ability to come directly to God through prayer and worship. No priest, nor any saint, nor any angel is needed to come directly to God, but Christ alone is the mediator between God and man. And it says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5-9, it says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The 14th doctrine is that those who are born again become the sons of God and are collectively chosen to be part of a holy nation and God's people, which is the spiritual and not the physical nation of Israel. And going back to 1 Peter 2, which I just read from, but focusing mainly on verses 9 and 10, it says, but you are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It says in Romans 2:28-29, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In Romans chapter 9, verse 6-8, it says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28-29 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The 15th doctrine is that we are to be separated from the world, meaning the wicked, sinful influences of our society. Although we live in the world, we should not walk with the unsaved or with the wicked. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14-17, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And the 16th doctrine is that one day Jesus Christ will return in the clouds. First the dead will be raised, and then the saved who are still alive will be taught in the clouds. And this precedes the wrath of God and the millennial reign of Christ. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29-31, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52-53 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14-15 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So those are the 16 main doctrines which I tend to focus on this channel. Now, of course, I also talk about other things, But when it comes to Christian doctrine, biblical Christianity, you know, that which is actually based on the Bible and not on tradition or false prophets and things like that, that which is based on God's word, these are the main doctrines which the Bible teaches. And as a Baptist, these are the things that I believe. So don't mistake what I believe, or don't mistake what Christians believe. Now, again, there are people out there, both actual Christians who just don't understand the Word of God, who don't, who refuse to read the Bible, who don't go to church, and who really all they know is the gospel, or just people who are outside of Christianity, who aren't Christians, or may be, call themselves Christians, but who aren't saved, who misunderstand what we believe as Baptists. Here's a video kind of explaining it, or summarizing it at least. So, thank you everybody for watching, and goodbye.